Welcome to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, where I, Tanner Prentice, guide five of my closest friends through an original adventure playing the tabletop role-playing game Pathfinder 2nd Edition. In the world of Rell, five strangers brought together a resistance under the shadow of the Black Reach Empire. Until everything changed. A villain and former lover named Hogoth fractured the planes of existence, ushering in an endless night and an era of undeath. All in the name of an undying dragon, Zarox. Now, the fate of Rell is left to these five adventurers.
My name is Ayla, and I play Bo Cantrell, a fallen Asimar and cleric, with Cosmios, the god of fate, as my deity.
Hi, my name is Zane, and I play Cinder Lafayette, the halfling investigator with a dicey past.
My name is Octavia, and I play Starlit Moonbow. Star, as she's better known by her companions, is on a mission to save her true love, Faya, from the Maiden of Spiders.
Hi, my name is Latara, and I play Kiaren Nimone the Sadistic, the Dolel champion of Emin, who yearns for that redemption that is so far out of her reach.
I'm Brendan Geyer.
And I am Frost, your new favorite kobold barbarian. Honor-bound to protect and serve Groth's party. And oath-bound to finish his mission.
These five heroes are the last best hope to save Rell. But can they overcome this darkness that spreads under the shattered sky? Find out now on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
How do you guys feel about spiders?
Love them.
I love spiders. I think that was one sarcastic answer and one genuine answer. And I think anybody who historically has listened to this podcast probably knows who was sarcastic.
Like, Tanner, in the frame of reference of like a Batman thing, if you had attacked tarantulas, how fucking safe would you feel if they could attack on command?
There is no scenario on Earth where I would have an attack tarantula.
Well, but what if you were just like bestowed with like 20 of them and they would attack and withdraw on command and they would do whatever you say?
I'm like, picturing
pretty easy.
In the scenario.
I would go up to the highest building I could find and jump off of it and die.
Well, you know, like in
not
like
even throw
the
them
first,
off, huh? Just
in the
I don't have the strength to do that.
They would jump
would
off
so
if you said
fucking
so.
Scared.
You could command them to jump off.
You could. I'm just saying there.
I wouldn't think of that.
To stop being spiders.
I would be like, I don't want to live on a planet where somebody thinks it's okay to bestow me 20 spiders. I don't want to. I'm not safe here. I don't want to do this.
The worst.
I just have this visual
ever.
In my head of like, you know, in Batman Begins when he has like the little like sonar beacon thing that like makes all the bats like fly to him.
Yeah.
Like I'm picturing like Tanner has a beacon that makes like 800 spiders like come to him. So you accidentally push that button and you have that moment of realization that somewhere 800 spiders are converging on your location.
I'm telling you right now, there would be no mental recovery from that. I would be comatose. Like my body would right. shut down and I would just poop in a hospital forever.
What if the package came with like, you don't meet the tarantulas until you're ready and you get like 8 weeks of intensive
super easy.
EM
I will never be ready. Never be ready.
But you get like 8 weeks of intensive EMDR, which is literally for overcoming like traumatic fear of spiders and shit like that.
Yeah, they throw you into a pit of spiders and just
yeah.
let you work it out.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Exactly how EMDR works.
Somebody's going to be like, we're going to train you for 8 weeks to not be afraid of spiders. I'm going to be like, no, you're not, because that's going to involve a lot of spiders. And I'm not going to do that.
So okay, we're making some revelations here then. So you think that Batman is a superhero because he overcame a fear, not because he became his fear?
No, I
think he's a superhero because he has $18 billion.
That
he decided he wanted
lot.
To be a superhero.
That helped a lot. Okay, we're skipping a lot of steps here, but like, you know, like A to Z, right?
You know Batman doesn't exist, right?
You shut your goddamn mouth. But also,
I
yeah,
was
okay,
gonna
so,
make it to at least 40 before my parents told me he doesn't really bring fucking presents every year.
Nope, Tanner's gone. He's removed himself from this conversation. Okay, what if I gave you $18 billion then, and you were like a billionaire, but you had to be covered in spiders?
Yeah, you
like,
had to be spider
most of the time.
It's not as cool.
I would probably kill you.
Yeah.
You have the ability to give me $18 billion and I would be fine with a million. And you're like, I will not give you a fucking cent of this unless you do something.
Unless you're severely traumatized.
Okay, if we're taking this to like the extremes of the hypothetical, what if...
We haven't taken this to the extremes of the hypothetical?
No, we can still put like an impenetrable barrier where like these spiders can't touch you, come in your house, or like interfere with your life at all. But like if
so it's
anybody,
more of an existential horror.
But like if anybody walks up, they will just like crawl out of the woodworks and eat them and you never hear a thing, and then they go back into the woodworks. How safe do you feel in your house now?
Knowing that there's man-eating spiders, I'd be kind of afraid, obviously.
Yeah. not very. So,
but you know,
you see, when I see,
it'll never happen to you.
I don't know that. I will never know that. That's the irrationality of this fear. Like, I went to a like zoo exhibit, Point Defiance or something, and they had a bunch of spiders in cages, like in like a wall of spider cages. And it's kind of like how they say, you know, if you see a gun in act one, it better go off in act three. If I see a spider's cage, I assume inevitably that cage is going to bust open and spiders are going to come out of it.
Chekhov's spider.
Like, the first thing I think of is earthquake. What happens? Is that a stable enough structure to keep all, like, there's no, it wouldn't work.
Also, earthquakes, you know, seismic activity naturally agitates spiders to points of violence, too. So that's where you really got to be scared, because you're losing your balance and the spiders are now out of containment.
And just unlock his fear of earthquakes.
That's not true. I'm going to assume that's not true for my own well-being.
So, okay.
You can just make that determination for yourself.
The reason I ask...
I got you a bunch of spiders.
They're in the mail right now.
Overnighted. They'll be there before you wake up.
You know that package you brought in?
Yeah, I know exactly that.
Open the package earlier.
Go out of that window.
Is because that fear doesn't extend to scorpions, right? So, like,
actually, it kind of does. I think scorpions are way cooler. So I can kind of scorpions are kind of like it's like a crocodile. It's like, man, that's fucking cool. I'm good at a distance.
I'm right. Cooling over here, brother.
Yeah. Super cool. Not that fast. Way over there.
Oh, unfortunately, we're voluntarily closing the distance between us and this giant scorpion, so it kind of seems backwards.
What is a scorpion but a desert spider? Right?
Right. It's like a lobster spider.
Or in this case, a magma spider. Scorpion.
Which is better. Thing.
Hotter. Definitely.
I mean, I guess objectively, scorpions are spiders with like poison attack tails, so they should be scarier, right?
Is the scorpion's accent going to be like Scorpion from Delta Green?
Yes, it right. is. I don't know, man. I'm taking over this forge, man.
A magma scorpion, which is a lobster spider, but he has a double-barreled shotgun and like a, you know, and he's like an ex-drug addict.
Yeah.
I don't have a fear of spiders to the extent Tanner does, but they definitely freak me out. But because they freak me out, I also have a strange fascination with them.
That's right. Cool.
So like in games and stuff, and I like spider, like things that look like spiders, like spider tattoos or spider decorations, things like that. But if an actual spider freaks me out.
That's how I feel about scorpions, for sure. Also,
well, I mean, that's a very normal, natural human reaction. There's a reason why, like, things like rats and spiders and shit freak us out, is because historically a lot of humans have, like, gotten killed by them.
Also, I'd like to share with you guys something that is a horrible revelation that Ayla and I made. Viper used to kill spiders on command, and now she's just gotten bored with it. So we will call her over, and she will just watch it walk around.
So she's become friends with them.
Flies are still in, though. I told her to get a fly the other day. I was like, get it. And she just went up and just ate it, like, within the minute I asked her to.
So you're saying she's hanging out with spiders now. Now they're cool, and she's becoming a spider herself because she's eating flies.
You just shut your fucking mouth right there. You stop talking. You're not allowed. Over.
Friendship concluded.
Once Brennan gets back here, we're going to start this episode. You don't get to talk.
You're not allowed over until our door is open.
I mean, I'm the one front and center, potentially opening this like dwarven rune door where there's allegedly a giant magma spider lobster on the other side. So, I mean, take your shot.
I kind of like the use of allegedly in this scenario.
We don't know. I haven't opened the door yet.
Well, I hope you're as afraid of this magma spider as I am of... No, this magma scorpion as I am of a minuscule house spider. Because we last left off with Cinder ready to open the door into this main room of the Forge Heart, or at least you kind of assume. On the other side lies a giant-sized being from another plane of existence, as well as a magma scorpion, and potentially a prisoner. What do you do?
Well, let's discuss strategy before we just go barging in. Are we wanting to pull back like we have the other rooms?
Well, why were we doing that?
Try to pull him here.
Oh, okay.
I think it was hard for some of you to hit the targets in the room.
I mean, can he even fit on these little walkways? Like, what if he has to balance and falls? Then we're good.
I mean,
I think we had discussed this before, too. I think that was kind of something we had thought about.
If we don't think he'd fit, could we just shoot him from back here?
We could bottleneck him at the door.
This room is also enclosed like the other rooms, right? Walls?
Yes.
Yeah. So we awfully exposed out here, and there's no guarantee that we wouldn't fall ourselves if things go south.
Oh, is this... So, wait, this walkway is open, too?
Yes.
Can we get a sense of how big the room is from, like, looking then?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a dome-like structure with all sorts of, like... Well, I guess you wouldn't see that from the outside, but it looks like a pretty massive room. In fact, let me get you an exact footage. It is... At its widest, 70 feet, and at its farthest, 50 feet.
And Frost deduces this from his real estate experience, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Real fixer-upper, but it's got good bones.
2.5 bathrooms.
There would be room for us all to get in here, unlike the other ones.
What's this? Was the school nearest to us like? Good for the kids.
Oh, good district. Good district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Horrible elemental problem in this neighborhood, though.
Yeah. I don't think you're allowed to call them that anymore.
I knew you were going to say that.
There was a joke in there somewhere, but I wasn't brave enough to take it.
That's fucked. I'm sorry. I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, you are.
All right.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
It's not a fucking pirate. Just
from what we know about this thing, do we know, like, what its fighting style is? Or, like, the being or the scorpion? Like, is range going to be a benefit or a detriment?
I think you guys
like,
rolled a nat one on that, didn't you?
Well, we rolled better on the first one, kind of.
The scorpion you did.
We know it's a weird flame lobster scorpion spider.
Does it taste good with butter?
Probably. <Yeah. laughs> I mean, yeah. I don't know what else to tell you guys that you don't know already.
Yeah, I don't think I'm more preparing for it at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you made a good point. Fighting with open sides above lava isn't the best, and...
No. No, it kind of kills the bottleneck strategy.
And the room is large enough to not be an issue like the other ones.
Yeah, we just don't know what this thing is capable of necessarily, so it could be...
Well...
Yeah, it could be bad.
One thing I'll say... Real quick, because you did roll pretty well, I think, on the scorpion. It can spit fire at up to 40 feet. So it has some range capabilities, but you do think that thing will probably likely try to stab you with its tail.
The only thing I'm 100% certain is that Frost needs to take that potion. But other than that, I don't know what we're getting into, so.
Yeah, Frost will take that potion very last thing before we open the door.
Well, if we're charging in, maybe I should go first, Cinder.
Right. Actually, that's another question I had is, does Cinder get the impression that when this runic protection is dispelled, is it going to cause a scene, or can I quietly maybe, like, peek my way in this door?
I think, actually, it's a bit more of a... practical measure, these are some really heavy doors. You can attempt to peek through, but it might be quite difficult to do so stealthily.
Okay. Can I at least dispel the magic, though?
Yeah, quite, we'll say like,
without too much of a...
Yeah.
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 Okay, so yeah, I think Cinder finishes, like, tracing her fingers over some of these runes, and, like, yeah, the magic dissipates. Mm. And she takes a step back and says, all right, the lock is lifted. And one other thing she wants to do is flip open those optics on her crossbow again and see if she can, like, because it gives, what's the exact definition of, it gives, like, imprecise, like, sight into the ethereal plane or something.
Okay.
Yeah, imprecise vision of the ethereal plane with a range of 60 feet. I'm just wondering if, like, there's obviously these two creatures in there, but, like, is that rift they came through, like, still open? Is it still in play at all?
Give me a perception check.
Okay. I also have a question. Like, what brought on the star's vision? Like, why did that? Do we know?
I think
she touched the, or like,
it was assessed, the scorch marks.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and she's a planeswalker, so she can kind of have like limited vision into that type of thing. Okay. 23 for my perception roll.
Looking through the sights, it's very. This is a very bizarre realm. It's kind of like the best scenario I can use as an example is when Frodo puts on the ring in the Lord of the Rings movies, where everything's just kind of wispy and this loud ethereal wind is blowing, though you can't hear that. But you do see this spot that seems to just kind of glow through the walls and everything, and it seems hot.
Okay. And does that seem, am I able to determine if that's separate from the other, from the creatures in the room?
Yeah, yeah, it seems to be this sort of stationary, you don't get this sense it's sentient.
Yeah, kind of quizzically, like, looking through the lenses of this crossbow, she'll say to the rest of the group, too, just, I sense them in there, but there's something else. I'm not sure what, though.
I think oh my god, it started so hard. I think I can do this now. I want to do Forbidding Ward on Cinder. And it's one ally and one enemy, so warding her against, or, yeah, warding her against the scorpion.
Against the scorpion? Okay.
Cool. Does that deflect damage to you, or how does that work?
I'm warding you against a hostile, and you gain plus one status bonus to armor class and saving throws against target enemy attack spells and other effects.
Nice.
Okay.
Definitely remember that, because that's going to be big.
Plus one to saving throws, you said?
Saving throws and armor class. Against that one enemy.
Against the fire lobster. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Rock lobster.
Well, Cinder will take a deep breath, too, and just say that she's ready when you guys are.
Kieran will move up to the door. And she's just gonna... We don't know what abilities he has. We might need to spread out. But if you can, try to stay within 15 feet. She's going to cast Bless.
Okay.
Cinder will reiterate that previous fact too to the rest of the group and just say, I'm muddy on the details of this creature, but I know it has some fire throwing abilities, so just be aware of that.
Sorry, real quick, Latara, do status bonuses stack?
If they're the same.
No, because
type of bonus, right, they don't stack.
Okay, so the bless will not stack with your warding bond, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
And then she'll open the door.
Okay, you guys ready?
As Frost drinks that fucking potion, definitely has his weapon out.
Go.
How does Bless work in Pathfinder?
It's a 15-foot emanation. Which, with emanations, I think that doesn't count the square I'm in, right?
No, good God.
I don't fucking know.
I'd have to look it up, but... and you get a plus one bonus to attack rolls if you're within it.
Okay.
I like the "Oh, good God," Zane. That was excellent.
Yeah. For listening audience, there is a large section of the map that just got revealed, and it looks fun.
It does, doesn't it?
Available for free on...
Oh, there's three
our Discord,
there, huh?
Which you can find in the link tree.
What do you call a pentagram when it has, like, 40 points?
All right. Are you going to describe the room for the audience?
No.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
There's one other thing I wanted to do.
Never mind.
I've never used it before, so I'm kind of fuzzy on how it works, but I kind of wanted to life pact all of us.
What does that mean?
I can target up to 6 willing creatures, and if one of the targets is about to take damage that would reduce it to 0, all the other targets lose 3 hit points.
Ooh.
And they gain the hit points.
Interesting.
So...
Oh, that's actually... right before taking the damage. Interesting.
So it could still
knock them down, and yeah, if it's...
But I can at least try to...
It could at least... Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, that could be the difference between staying up or going down.
I don't
down.
Want anyone to die.
Okay,
cool. Before we go in here, what's the load order?
Yeah, arrange yourselves.
Well, I'm at the door.
Right.
Everybody put yourselves where you want to start on the map.
Frost would definitely be second if nobody else
Frost
wanted
and
that
Kiara
position.
Frost and Kiara should be next to each other. Stop moving Joe around.
He's hanging out.
He's in the chasm. Can we be double wide on this walkway, basically, is my question. Or at least sharing space with each other.
Are we starting in the walkway, or are you going to let us pick on the map in here, like within reason where we're going to be?
Here, I will start Kiaran just right in the doorway. And then you guys should all be able to fit on the walkway. And I'll allow you guys to move through each other's space because I'm a benevolent GM.
I didn't get the lobster jokes because I didn't look at the map, and the scorpion is a lobster. So
it's
now
not
I
a lobster.
It.
It's a scorpion. I paid $5 for this pack. It's a fucking scorpion.
It is a scorpion. It's got a like hook over tail.
Yeah, it's got a hook over tail. It does look a lot like a lobster. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, the claws are a little bit not scorpion-y.
They're rough, lobster-y. Yeah.
All right. So, this massive door opens to a wide chamber. Enclosed by ceilings and walls, this great anvil hosts intricate piping that siphons lava from below this platform and how do you say this word?
Redistributes.
Does that to it further into the mountain and to this elevated anvil that is erect on the pedestal in the center of this room. The anvil on the floor is red hot. It seems like this chamber is being fed an excessive amount of heat, something that is clearly unstable. Behind this platform, a ring of fire lies hovering, and it gives you a glimpse into another hot, fiery world of existence, a world of unending inferno and inhabitable heat. At this anvil is a being of flame, bound together by a mask, breastplate, and some gauntlets, working tirelessly at this forge. They are striking the anvil with their glowing blue hammer, spraying sparks with each collision. The being stops abruptly as you enter, and perhaps a more prominent figure paces around, an outsider, a being from another plane of existence. This 12-foot-high, giant-sized creature glares malignantly towards you all. His braid extends past his waist, horns twist from his head, and his pure white eyes seethe in anger. A flaming scimitar occupies one hand as he points with the other. "You delay my rune for this? Pathetic mortals are not even worthy to feed to my pets." And on cue, a large scorpion, seemingly made out of lava rock and magma itself, skitters by its master's side. "Yig is a fool, and I will suffer these imbeciles no longer. You will forge my rune, weakling, or your shrieks will echo throughout the plains of existence." Everybody, roll initiative.
Is he talking to the dude at the anvil?
Yes, it seems like this is the prisoner.
Okay.
Is it a dwarf?
It looks like a being made of pure fire. Oh. But it is dwarf, so dwarf sized. No, dwarves are being made of pure whiskey.
Very flammable.
Incredibly flammable.
I don't know why they decided living underground is a good idea.
But a natural 20 for a Kjarn. Yes.
Let me put on some music real quick.
Sugar Ray, please.
Yeah, that's funny enough. Natural
you
one.
Hit some Fergalicious on this shit.
You got a natural one for us?
Yeah.
Dude, God damn it.
All right, give me your totals, please.
13.
My hard 20 puts me at 34.
35 for Cinder.
And 34. 35 for Cinder. Wow.
And I go before enemies that I tie with.
You actually did tie with an enemy. Oops.
21 for Star.
21 for Star, but what'd you get?
27.
Pretty good initiatives other than Frost.
Mine was okay.
It was only objectively the worst possible roll that
only,
you know,
by a little bit
could have made.
Okay. Cinder, you are the quickest and the first to react. What do you do?
So I'm going to use Expeditious Inspection, which gives me a free action to observe and assess my surroundings with great speed. So I'm going to, I don't know, I kind of, like, my first impression, or Cinder's first impression, rather, of this room is that, like, she's somewhat familiar with Dwarven lore and, like, architecture and stuff. Maybe not really knowing who the hell this is, this figure that's being made to forge some rune for this guy, but, like, just considering the presence of that portal in here and all of the way that they probably modified the forge heart to fit what they're doing, is there anything that she could do to, like, shut that down or stop it, or at least temporarily interrupt it?
I think, and I'll just, give me an Arcana check.
Arcana? Okay.
Unless you have a lore or something you'd argue with more.
Alcohol.
Yeah, give me a lore alcohol check.
I got a 28 for Arcana.
Okay. You know that this type of planar magic is likely not something that can be solved quickly. It will probably take a ritual of an hour or more.
Okay, but even just like with the infrastructure of the forge heart, is there like a valve or something that could be closed potentially to at least interrupt and, more importantly, distract the guy who's here to, like, basically utilize it?
Distract, potentially. Though I will say it's a very intricate system. It would require an intimate knowledge of crafting to be able to identify exactly what and how.
Okay. Shit.
You can also delay your turn if you'd like.
I mean, yeah, sure. We'll just... How does delay work? I'm stuck on Delta Green rules.
Delay is at the end of anybody's turn you can choose to go, and then you will move in the initiative order to that spot.
Like, overall?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. Kjarn, it is now your turn.
I am going to sustain my bless to make it 25-foot emanation.
So, okay.
And then, does this look... You said it's hot. Does it look dangerous to run on?
It does not look dangerous to run on. It looks like it can't sustain this much longer without a complete implosion.
And that... Is the anvil's on like a pedestal? Does that look like something that would take an action to get up onto?
It's about 5 feet up.
Okay. I do have boots of springing, so I could probably just jump up there.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to run up next to and hop up next to this guy. And then I'm just going to try to trip him, I think.
Okay.
Next to which guy, for the listeners?
The outsider guy. guy.
The interloper.
So I'm doing an athletics against his reflex DC.
Okay, good luck.
32. No, 33.
Mm. Wow.
That is a success.
Nice.
He falls prone, is now flat-footed.
Off balance.
Off guard. Off. He is now guard
balance.
Off footed.
He has no feet.
He's off footed. I kind of like that. Okay, is that the end of your turn?
That's the end of my turn, and now my bless should cover most of the room.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to jump back in here.
Okay.
What do I know about this dude in the middle of the room? Working the forge heart.
Working the forge heart?
Yeah.
Give me a recall knowledge, I believe Arcana or Nature.
Okay. These are all things that I'm not good at.
Yeah, it sucks, but...
Ah, oh, you bitch. 17.
You don't know much about this. I would say you know it's definitely not a dwarf, and it's definitely not a combatant.
Yeah, so, like, the impression I'm getting is he is being exploited by this interloper.
Yeah, 100% seems that way.
Okay. I think, like, shit, I don't know. I think Cinder, noticing that the forge heart is obviously being used in a way that it is not designed to be, to the detriment of everybody's safety in here, I think she's just going to try to bargain with this, or, like, make a plea to this figure, like, and just say, just yell out desperately, just, how do I stop this?
Okay. This figure grips its blue hammer, looks at you, looks down at the room that it's working on, and is like, I can stop it. You must kill him.
Okay. If that's the answer, then Cinder is going to take a shot at this dude with his her crossbow.
Okay, roll to hit.
And I already used my free action technically on my last, the first time that I delayed, so I can't use another free action, right?
Latara, you're muted. Please help.
Sorry, did you use an action and then hold?
I used a free action.
Okay.
Can you typically not do that? Does that count as an action against, like, your ability to hold the rest of your, like,
actions? Well, I just wanted to double check that you didn't, like, if you'd used an action, then you couldn't just, like, delay your turn because you've used an action.
Yeah, and I didn't. I only used, I used my expeditious inspection as a free action.
I mean, I think, I'm not sure on free actions, but I assume free actions you could use outside your turn?
No enemies like have done anything, so it doesn't really matter. I'll look into this later.
Sure. I'm just wondering if I can still use another free action. I'm assuming the answer is probably no. Oh. If I've
already... Is it a once per turn?
I think you can only use one free action per turn, yeah.
Yeah, this is once per 10 minutes, but then I have another...
Freedom isn't free, Zane.
Right. I can still use Devise a Stratagem as a separate free action, though. That's what I'm wondering, if I can use that and then attack.
I don't think you could do two free actions, but I'd have to look into it.
Okay, I'm just going to make a regular attack against this dude.
Yeah,
just make it
no, you can only use one free action per trigger.
Per trigger, that's what it is.
Yeah, so if a free action doesn't have a trigger, you're fine. You can do another free action.
Okay, I'm going to use Devise Strategium. That's an 11, I have a plus 16, so that'd be a 27 to hit. Or 28, rather.
Are you shooting at it?
That's the idea, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a little confused. Do you have to decide to use that before you know if it hits?
Yeah, have to decide. I mean, like, it gives me the ability to decide if I want to attack him or not.
Okay,
basically.
Great. So you attack him with a 28?
Yeah.
Hit.
Nice. And then I'm going to use my strategic strike on that and roll some damage. 19 damage.
19 damage. Wow, that's a pretty fucking hardy hit there, bud.
It's 2d8 plus 2 plus my 2d6 for my strategic strike.
Okay, yeah. You launch a crossbow bolt directly into his chest and it sinks in 2 inches. Looks like he was hurt.
I was trying to do this the smart way, now we're going to do it the dumb way. By shooting it.
Now, it is this scorpion's turn. Ooh. Does the scorpion help the master? I think the scorpion... Let's see what's his move. I think the scorpion is actually going to flank Kiaran with its master. And it is going to attempt to sting you with its tail, Kiaran. I hope you're ready.
We'll see.
32.
That's a hit.
Okay. Make me a fortitude save.
Oh, I'm also designating this large sword man as off balance with my shared stratagem against Kiaran.
Against Kiaran?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that do?
He's off balance against you, or off guard. Or whatever it's called.
Ooh, trying to say if I want to reroll. I'll take it. Okay, 23.
Fail.
I should have rerolled.
So you, first of all, only going to take nine piercing damage.
And I'm poisoned.
But you're also, as this stinger sinks into your shoulder and pulls out, you feel this burning, not only from the poison, or the venom rather, but also from this persistent fire damage it leaves behind. So remember, you are on fire. And as this poison works, or this venom rather, works its way into your system, you feel hot in your veins.
Okay, no conditions besides the persistent?
Just the persistent fire damage right now, but you also are going to take 8 fire damage from the venom.
Oh, so I get piercing and fire damage.
Yep, and then you're also taking persistent at the end of your turn.
You said 8 fire.
8 fire, yes. And then with its second attack, it's going to try to hit you with its pincer. 26, and you are flat-footed.
Still a miss.
Nice, good work. Tries to grab you with its pincer, but it just crunches around your armor and doesn't make its way through. Now, it is this giant-sized creature's turn. Bo, you were on deck. This creature looks at you, Kiaran, and says, "Pathetic! You will crumble under me." I can't talk like that very much. Sorry, I had something in my throat. You will crumble
under
me. Does
anybody have a lozenge?
Do you have some water? Huh?
Do you have a Halls?
You will crumble under Belinar, Lord of the Rashkali.
And he is going to... Do-do-do. He has so many things he can do.
Like, stand up?
Stand up for first action. He's like, once I get up, I'm going to attack you. Oh, shit. Damn it.
I sharded. Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Wish I knew the rules of this game.
25. Wait, did you give me a bonus to attack Cinder? What'd you give me?
No, he's just
off
guard.
He's flat-footed. Off guard. God damn.
Okay, so 25, and he's off guard.
And that includes your bless?
That includes my bless.
That is a miss.
Yeah.
He stands up and he's like, what was I saying?
Where was I?
Where was I? He is going to... You see him mutter something in a freeding. And he vanishes.
Ah.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those fights.
Kiaran mutters, coward.
No.
You just hear that just disembodied voice.
Bo, it is now your turn. Starlet, you are on deck.
Okay, I'm gonna see invisibility.
Okay.
Clutch, nice.
Very nice.
That's a good call.
That is very, very good. He did not move. I'll put him right there for you, but he is invisible to everybody but you.
Okay. I don't know if I can really do anything else.
Got one action, I believe.
Yeah. And I probably couldn't move. Do I still have my spiritual weapon?
I don't think so, because you guys, it's been over an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you wanting to stay out on the walkway?
I think so. I didn't... I don't know. Bo's going to just point. Wherever he goes, just point.
Okay.
You could do a recall knowledge check.
That's true.
You could try?
Yeah. Let's try that.
All right, give me a nature or arcana check. I assume you're doing it on the big guy?
Yeah. I'm going to do a nature.
Okay.
+19
33?
Yes. Okay, so I can finally tell you, this is an Ifriti. This is a djinn from the Plane of Fire, a cruel warlord. What would you like to know?
I've never asked me that before.
It's a new thing I'm doing.
I want to know, like,
weaknesses or strengths weaknesses. Or motivations or whatever.
Yeah. He is weak to cold.
Well, okay. Could have guessed that.
Well, it's good to know.
Now you know.
Yeah, Bo's just pointing at him and saying, weak to cold, weak to cold.
No.
No.
Okay, Star, it is now your turn. Frast, you are on deck.
Okay.
So in terms of what Bo's doing, would that just provide like a little bit of help, like against that flat DC for trying to find a hidden target? Like, how are we playing that out?
No, you can actually target him, but now you will have to roll a DC 11 check to hit.
Okay.
I think. Because he is essentially, when he's invisible and you know where he is, he's hidden. So you just have to strike him, I believe.
Anyway,
yeah.
Okay. I have something that I've had for a while and need to kind of get rid of.
Grenade.
Nice.
I already pulled the pin. living on the edge here. I have a moderate Tanglefoot bag in my inventory.
Okay.
Ooh.
What does that do?
I believe it reduces their speed. Okay. And then if they critically fail, it usually gives them... or if you critically succeed in attacking, rather, it usually immobilizes them.
Okay. So I don't actually have it, like, in my inventory, so I don't know, like, what it's the range or, like,
30
what,
feet.
How much... It covers 30 feet?
No, it's one target, but the range is 30 feet.
Okay. Okay. So I could, like, throw it.
Yeah, you'd have to move... Well, you could target the scorpion.
You'd well, have I mean, to I'm going to move up, but, yeah. like...
Yeah.
Okay. Then...
There's a moderate one, you said?
Yeah, moderate. Okay. Yeah, I think I want to try to throw that at this D-bag over here. The, big, scary...
guy?
Yeah, not the scorpion. The other one.
Okay, roll to hit.
What do I roll?
just roll... roll the same as whatever your... as your bow.
Okay.
Is your bow a +1 bow? Or is it a regular?
My bow True. It's just a striking bow, I guess. Do I get sneak attack on this? Probably not, because he's not prone.
He's not prone, so he will not get sneak attack.
I think striking is a...
Yeah, doesn't like striking give it plus one?
Yeah.
No. Striking gives it the extra
damage.
Those
are two different runes, you're right.
Yeah.
One's potency and one's striking.
So I guess, am I rolling this with the, like, to hit bonus or no?
Yeah. Roll it with the to hit bonus.
And you're blessed, so plus one to that.
How's a 36 do?
Nice. Is that a crit?
I think it would actually be a 37 because it has a plus one Tanglefoot bag. And you added the bless, right?
Yeah, because I got 35.
Okay. Unfortunately, not a crit.
Yeah.
But should say it's a crit.
Okay.
So he takes a minus 15 foot penalty to his speed.
Okay.
So this bag erupts all over him and covers him in this sticky substance. And he's like, what? No!
No, please don't come on me.
What is this?
I've been saving it.
Okay, so...
Was that two actions to throw?
You moved,
that or two?
You drew it, and then... Well, you have quick draw, don't you?
Yeah, I have quick draw.
Okay, so you have one more action.
Okay, then I'm gonna take one last action to try to shoot this guy with an arrow.
Okay.
Just fuck him.
Roll to hit.
29.
That is a hit.
Nice.
8 damage for that.
Okay, so you loose an arrow and it sticks right into his arm. Stop hitting me with those!
No, you look stupid.
It's not true. Frost, it's your turn. Kiarin, you are on deck.
Is he still invisible?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you have to roll... Damn it. You have to roll a DC...
No, too late. We already
nope.
did it.
You have to roll a flat check.
Yeah, I feel like we already
did it. You have to roll a flat check.
What even is... Yeah, shut
just,
the fuck
just
up,
roll, think it's roll 11? A D20, and you have to beat 11. No bonuses.
Let me try to remember how to do that on here.
Dice in the lower right corner.
Yeah. I already tried it somewhere else. Nope, I did not get that.
Okay. So unfortunately, the arrow does not hit. You think you have it trained on him, but you can't really tell. I mean, it's... Even though Bo has pointed out where they are.
Do you have something that, like, you can turn on and off that says that he's invisible or no? Because you got the slowed thing next to him, but...
Yeah, sure.
Not really. If you don't,
make him
okay.
Transparent.
I don't know how to do that. You guys are
just so that way
much.
It's easier to not forget about it, so we don't get to the end, and I'm like, woo, and then you're like, wait, fuck off, I hate
Never
you.
Never mind, though. I'm removing
that. No, that's my
me.
Favorite yeah. thing to do, so, no. Frost, it's yours.
Is there anything it does on a miss?
Well, the tangle foot bag can hit, that's fine. I'll take one on the chin, but the last action, since we haven't done another, misses. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Frost is he's finishing up a cigarette and he throws it down on the magma next to him. What's this guy's name?
Like, what are those guys doing in there? Joe,
yeah. He's gonna toss it down to Joe. Hey, where'd you go?
I don't know.
Tanner, you're invisible too now.
There's no God.
I'm invisible.
Oh, fuck.
Quick, get the beer.
No.
God's gone.
Sorry, I was on my union mandated smoke break. They make us do it 15 minutes twice a day. And,
Frost,
yeah,
just a working man. Just clocking working, into his 9-to-5.
He's just here to fucking get a paycheck. And,
it's not working out too well because nobody's paid him so far.
That's not true. He has had maybe the most profitable day of his life. He joined you guys and immediately got like 300 gold worth of
That's
stuff.
True.
Yeah, and one day.
Fancy feast
that is
on.
No, it's like 7,000 gold from the king.
Yeah.
Just failing upward.
Yeah, he is going to, upon seeing the big guy disappear, he's gonna and enter a rage and use his sudden charge to move up on this here old scorpion.
Fuck him up.
I don't think I can actually flank a scorpion, or like a creature that's bigger than me and the other creature that's lined up with it, right?
I think you can.
Well, then I'm going to move up here to where I'm flanking.
That just makes him off guard, right?
Yes. Off guard.
Okay. Then Frost is going to roll. Yeah, he's just going to go ahead and swing the shit out of this great axe. I think that as he runs up, he's like pole vaulting off of it and like bringing it over his head while he's in the air and trying to land on the scorpion with it.
Okay.
Uh, 33 to hit.
Did you add bless?
34?
That is a crit because he is flanked.
Fuck yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh boy, this is gonna be spicy.
46 damage.
God damn, Midge.
Wow.
Okay, so you, I mean, describe what happens. Paint me a picture.
I think that, yeah, Frost just like tosses his cigarette down to this this poor lizard. And hisses, runs up at the scorpion when he's about 15 feet away. He shoves the end of his axe into the ground, the sharp end, and pole vaults over the top of it and brings it up over his head as he's passing over the top and just like uses its own weight to like bring down on the back of the scorpion.
And it just, you hear this loud crunch from its carapace as it's just pummeled through.
All right, and he's gonna go ahead and swing that bad boy again.
Sudden charge, one action or two?
Oh, no, you're right. It is two actions. He's going to not do anything else this
Boom.
Turn.
They what say I don't know do? This game.
Thank you for keeping me honest. That was legit.
It's like a, yeah, what does sudden charge do, Bren?
It just makes it to where, let's see. I'm not actually sure the advantage of it exactly, but... It's, no, yeah, I am. It's, you rush forward, moving enemies aside. So it's like, you can move through enemies' spaces and make a melee strike on anybody that's in between me and him.
You also stride up to twice, so you could move, like, 60 feet and attack with two actions.
Oh, it does not tell me that. That's cool.
Yep.
So you can take another attack then?
No, he cannot.
No.
But
oh,
he
I was
could...
looking at the wrong thing. Jesus, yeah. I was looking at barreling charge. Yeah, strike
oh,
twice.
I see.
That's what it is.
Okay, Kiaren, it is your turn. Cinder, you are on deck.
I am going to cast... It is a manipulate action if they're somatic.
I don't know. I think
it's anything but verbal, if I remember. So actually, I'm going to trip first.
Does manipulate just mean that you get like an attack of opportunity against you or what?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If they have it.
Okay.
What were you trying to do? A spell of some sort?
Yeah.
Which one?
I'm going to trip him first to, or try to trip him first.
Okay.
The Jin.
The large man.
The big man.
I guess I will do a flat check first.
Yep.
Not great. 25 against reflex DC.
Did you do your flat check?
Oh, that's my flat check. My flat check missed. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay.
So I miss.
You go to trip and you just don't feel any resistance.
I guess I'm just going to go for it and cast Sepulchral Mask. So if they have attacks of opportunity, we should do that first.
Okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, does he have one? He does not.
And the scorpion doesn't either?
Nope. They both do not.
Nice. Okay. I cast the spell then, and I manifest a supernatural funerary mask, granting me a +1 status bonus to will saving throws against emotion effects. But its somber countenance forces my foes to confront their regrets and sins.
Of course.
And they, the enemy in the area when I cast the spell is going to take 3d4 mental damage, but they need to make a will save.
Oof.
You're doing your Ghost Rider thing, basically.
Sure. 33.
That's save.
Do both of them need to?
They're going to take... Huh?
Do both of them need to?
Yeah, they both are in it.
Okay.
If it's exactly 10 higher, is that a crit save?
Yep.
Okay. Well, whichever one that was is unaffected.
Okay, the scorpion rolled a 27.
Okay. The scorpion will take 5 mental damage.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
No, it's not. Because you're taking some persistent fire damage.
Oh, yeah.
6 persistent fire. Now roll a flat check to see if you...
19.
Nice. The fire 6, you said? Puts itself out, but you take 6 damage. Now, I think I'm doing this right, but probably not. Roll me a fortitude save.
What's the fortitude save for?
The poison.
The poison. Oh, because I your veins.
It doesn't become unpoisoned when I lose the persistent damage?
Nope, the persistent damage is a separate thing.
Okay. Another natural 19, which is a 35.
You flex and push the poison out of your shoulder.
Sweet.
Tanner.
Yes.
Before we move to somebody else's turn, I apologize. I forgot to actually apply the rage to my character sheet before I rolled my damage.
Okay.
If you're okay with it, luckily it's a straight conversion. There just should have been 10 more damage to my strike.
Now, the problem with that is, didn't you crit?
I did crit.
So 20 more damage.
Would it be 20 more damage? Okay. If so you don't want to do that, I missed it by my whole turn.
That's fine. You crunch that carapace even harder. In fact, bit of blood squirted out from a bit of magma blood, hot blood.
I like to think it comes down, crunches, and then like 10 seconds later, like in the combat, like Frost is like, oh yeah, right. And then just kind of goes back and jabs it in a little bit more.
Wait, I'm mad.
I'm mad. I forgot.
So that really should have been a 66 damage roll. That's insane. Not a 46. Wow.
Insane.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Cinder, it is now your turn.
Yeah. Looking around this room really quick, these pipes and just elements of elevation, is there any way I can get up off the floor and get, like, some high ground?
Where are you? Do you want that potion?
Well...
The flying?
Probably not in the middle of combat.
I mean, I could...
Well, what's the answer to that question first? Because that might influence my decision.
I mean, to get any higher, you would have to climb onto... the center here. The center is kind of the pedestal over everything else.
Okay, I'm just wondering if there's any of these pipes, like if they're, aside from the fact that they're probably raging fucking hot, if there's any way I can get like up to a point where, you know, this dude or this dude can't just come hit me in the face.
I think unlikely, and they probably will be really fucking hot.
Okay.
Is that like a coolant system? Should one side be really cold?
It's true.
Too cold. You'll take 4d20 cold damage.
4d20.
Okay.
Hold my fingers.
I'm going to flat check. I have keen eyes, so that flat check to a. Is he hidden or concealed?
He is hidden.
Hidden,
to
right?
Hidden. To
okay, yep. So that's going to be a DC 9 against him.
Why is it DC 9?
I have this thing called Keen Eyes
that lets me
better seek out hidden or concealed targets.
Okay, 17, so you can
hit. But I have to use a seek. I have to use a seek action for it, though. Is that how that DC flat check works?
Well, that's just to figure out where they are if you're doing a seek action.
Okay. But is the flat DC check too? Like, is that just part of like your roll to hit, basically? It's not like its own thing.
If you're trying to hit something that you can't see, even if you know where it is, you can't see it, so it has like a defense against it, and that's what the flat check represents.
Well, let me throw you this at you too. How does that work with devise a stratagem to see if I can hit it or not? Do I just treat it as a normal attack and I can still take it if I want to or not?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, then I'm going to just, I'm just going to do that. So let me roll that. Well, I rolled a 17. Can I carry that over? Or do you want me to roll it again?
You can use that for your flat check. That's fine.
Okay, cool. And then I will roll. Okay. 16. So that's what, 24? Do I know if that hits or not?
You do not.
No. I do not know if that hits or not. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna take it anyway. I'm gonna shoot it. Does that work?
It seems like your crossbow bolt bounces off something invisible, unable to penetrate it.
Okay. In that case. Oh, shit. Okay, I think I'm gonna reload and wait. Do we don't reload? Did we determine that?
One action to reload.
One action to reload, and then I'm gonna move over here.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
It is now this scorpion's turn. This scorpion is going to attack the clear threat to its life, Frast. So it turns to focus its attention on you. And it is going to strike you with a tail spike. Or a tail sting, rather. Give me a crit. Natural 20. Called it.
Jesus Christ.
You're unfortunately at 20 feet, not 15 feet per me.
Well, maximum damage.
For real?
Yeah. Okay. So Frost, you're on fire, so remember you're going to be persistent fire damaged.
Remember you have resistance to fire. Yeah.
Yep, you do have resistance to fire. That will come up shortly, but right now you are going to take 34 bludgeoning damage.
At least stop it.
That's not too bad.
Crit for a crit.
Piercing?
Piercing damage, not bludgeoning. I'm sorry.
That's that the fire resistance has already probably come in clutch.
Oh, you haven't. It hasn't ticked any fire.
Oh, it's only persistent. Okay.
Yeah. But give me a fortitude save.
Oh, right. That was a nat 20 for a 36. Made you.
That's really good. You are fine. This poison does not affect your blood, but it is now going to attack you twice with its last two actions with its pincer. First one, 23.
That's going to exactly hit.
13 points of bludgeoning damage. Pincing damage, thank you.
Bludgeoning?
Yeah, it's just
slow
you.
Bludgeoning by crushing. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the last attack is a 20 to hit.
That is a miss.
All right, so it snaps at you. It stabs you with its tail right through the chest, and it almost pokes out your back. And as it rips it out, you see this venom drip out, but it's almost as if the attack happened so quickly it wasn't able to disperse it. And then it brings its pincer around and crushes you once. But that is its turn. And now it is the Afridi's turn. Bo, you are on deck. He is invisible, but Bo, you can see him all too well. As he's going to rush up to you. Now, Kiaren, even though he's invisible, you do get an attack of opportunity.
I don't have to be able to see him for that?
No, as long as you know he's there.
Okay, I'll take it.
But you do have to pass your flat check.
Yeah.
Fair, it's not like we're talking about
I didn't pass my flat check.
Okay. Now, luckily, because you are... you can see invisibility, you are not flat-footed, Bo, but this creature is threatened by you being able to see it and pointing out its location, so it is going to roll its flaming scimitar at you. Oof. Poor roll, but I think I still got you. 26.
Meh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. 21 points of damage. And as his last action, he is going to try to use his combat grab ability. He probably should have used it before, but I didn't say it, so I'm keeping it honest. So he's going to try to attack you, and if he hits, he's going to grab you in his free hand. And does a 19 hit you?
No.
Thank God.
So he springs around this flaming scimitar. Excuse me, scimitar. It's like a sword scimitar. And you notice he flew at you. He has an innate flying ability. Flies directly at you and slices at you, cutting open your chest. When he brings his scimitar back around, you barely are able to dodge out of the way. And it is now your turn.
So I was wondering, because the light cantrip, you can attach it to willing creatures. So does that mean you could attach it to an unwilling creature with like a check or something? And would that help? Why?
Because it says you can attach it to a willing creature.
I don't know what to do. I didn't expect him to like come out here.
I mean, what do you have that like does damage?
I mean, I was going to do sign of conviction, but I have to be... I'm immobilized and I can't be like moved out of my space, which is probably not going to happen.
Wait, what do you mean?
If he's like right up in my shit and trying to grab me and stuff.
Yeah, and don't forget you have no ledge next to you where you're at.
Yeah.
Star, you're on deck, by the way.
I'm going to... You said something about him being like a cruel... creature, so like would that be enough for me to imply that he's an evil creature?
You passed your check with Freedies. They are malignant evil creatures.
Okay. Well, I think I might do Radiant Heart of Devotion.
Oh, we've been here before. Are you gonna fuck all your friends up again?
Well, it's a 20-foot emanation, so it's up to you, if you like, want to get in there.
Do you have to do it on him, or can you do it like where it only hits you guys?
It's an emanation, so it comes out of her. Or him, okay. Rather.
Also,
so it would,
the
Star would be in it,
it fucked up,
or
no longer with us.
Yeah.
That's so you true. Don't know about the two new ones.
I don't.
No, it's... I think it's fucked Cinder up before, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Cinder was there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. She's
oh, I've dazzled you
here.
Before. That's right.
Yeah.
Frost, are you a good creature?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm neutral good.
Star, you're... chaotic good, I think we established.
Yeah, I think chaotic good.
Okay. What does that mean? Oh, right. No, I know that. That makes sense, actually.
So, yeah, I'm still going to do that.
Okay. Tell me what I got to do.
Die.
He just dies? So that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't say... will saving throw.
Sorry, what is this spell again?
Radiant Heart of Devotion.
Will saving throw?
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Ugh, man. Because that's just my DC, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's 1 point more than... What
it looks like he was not supposed to do that till the beginning of his turn, but I'm gonna count it. Okay. Anything else?
If you did want to try to move past him, it's an acrobatics check, just so you know.
Well, since Bo was able to see him, would Bo determine if he has the ability to attack him?
I mean, you would see that he did not take an attack of opportunity on Kiarn.
Yeah, you saw Kiarn casting and no one hit her.
Um,
do you want to try to move?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'll back up. Or I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to back up. I'd probably want to scoot by.
Okay, so you need to attempt an acrobatics check against his reflex DC to move by.
I'll try. If you fail, you're stuck in that spot, just so you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either move or stay, so I guess I'm going to try to move.
Okay. You try to move past him and he just shoulders you back into place, readying his flaming scimitar for another attack. And now, yeah. Bo, that is the end of your turn. And it is you face to face with this invisible, though you can see him, red-skinned, evil Ifriti.
Is the scorpion in my emanation?
Scorpion is not evil. He's neutral, but he'll do it on his turn.
Okay. I was just wondering if he was in the aura.
But we'll see if he fails next time on the Reroll Gaming Podcast. It's going well. This is actually going pretty fucking well.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll see, though.
Sorry, editor.
It's a lot of potential to go much more poorly a lot quicker.
That's true.
Next time.
Thank you for listening to the Reroll Podcast. The world of Rell and all characters within are copyright and fictitious. Any similarities to persons, living or dead, or actual events are purely coincidental. Reroll Gaming uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy, we are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Reroll Gaming is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. Want to follow us on social media, listen to another episode, or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we could use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rell theme and Frequency theme are copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon or Ko-fi if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. And leave us a review wherever you heard this episode. New episodes every Monday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.